भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते
वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 35. Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidyakama karmavi shravanasmaranarhani karishyamiti kechana Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidyakama karmabhi shravanasmaranarhani karishyamiti kechana Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidyakama karmabhi shravanasmaranarhani Karishyamiti kechana Bhave. In the material creation, Asmin, this, Klishyamananam, of those who are suffering from Avidya, nescience, Kama, desire, Karmabhi, by execution of fruitive work, Shravana, hearing, Smarana, remembering, Arhani, worshipping, Karishyan, may perform, Iti, thus, Kechana, others. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Translation responsibly. And yet others say, that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that He appears in every millennium just to re-establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Supreme Lord as the supreme authority, and thus render service unto Him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and living beings are subordinate to Him. Therefore, the duty of the living being is just to serve Him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses of bimaterial desire. This desire is called avidya or nescience. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of His causeless mercy, because He is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto Him. Adoption of all the above mentioned items, or any one of them, can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience, and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Om Ajnana Nivarantasya Jnananjana Chalakya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here Queen Kunti is giving one of the reasons for the advent of Lord Krishna. So this section we are reading, here Queen Kunti describes the various reasons why Lord Krishna appears. So, and previously, Queen Kunti, as Krishna was leaving for Dwarka, the Pandavas headed by Queen Kunti, they began to glorify the Lord. So Queen Kunti was first glorifying Krishna's descent, His greatness and His wonders, and how she can understand Krishna's unfathomable position. Then Kunti Devi was explaining how Krishna protected her and the Pandavas during their years in exile, and even before that, how they were basically under the protection of the Lord. And then we also heard how Queen Kunti was asking the Lord for calamities so she can get the Lord's association again and again. And then she also explained that someone who is materially exhausted can easily approach the Lord, whereas those who have some material shelter, or they're proud of their own abilities, they're unable to take shelter of the Lord. And then she also explained the mysterious nature of Krishna's birth, His activities and His disappearance. So now in this section she is explaining the reasons for the Lord's advent. And one of the reasons given was that Krishna descends for the glorification of pious kings, and He has descended to glorify King Yadu. Then another reason was given, that because Vasudeva and Devaki prayed to the Lord to have Him as a child, therefore the Lord appeared. So we know previously Devaki and Vasudeva were Prishni Garbha and Prishni. So they actually prayed to the Lord that they can have the Lord as a child. And then, so that's one reason given. Another reason given was that the Lord has appeared to kill the demons, who are basically envious of the demigods. And also then we heard yesterday that one of the reasons Krishna appeared was because the world was overburdened by sinful kings. So we know the past time when the demigods headed by Brahma, they went to the Shvetadip and they prayed to Shirodakshaya Vishnu for the descent of the Lord. Because the demoniac kings headed by Kamsa, they were actually overburdening the earth. And the example is given of a boat at sea, which is overburdened. So the result is it will sink. So today, in today's verse, Queen Kunti is saying that, yet others say that Krishna has appeared to rejuvenate the process of devotional service. So the Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. So it's interesting, here it says, bhave smin klishya mananam. So bhave means in the material creation. So we come across this this word a lot in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literature. Bhave. So bhava has, depending on the context, it has a few meanings. So in this context it means the material creation. Or sometimes bhava is also referred to as the forest fire of material existence, or the ocean of material existence, or the becoming and unbecoming. So, and then the next word is klishya mananam, of those who are suffering from. Bhavesmin klishya mananam. So the point is that the living entities in the material world are in a suffering condition. So originally our position is to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, but because of this unlawful desire to become Krishna, we are actually thrown in the material world. So the nature of the material world, it is bhava. It is an ocean of becoming and unbecoming. Like, we can go to the beach here and you can see there's so many waves coming, one after the other. So a wave rises, then it goes down. In the same way, in the material world, the living entities are becoming and unbecoming. And that's the nature of the creation itself. It is manifest, it is unmanifest. So all this is happening by the direction of the Lord. The creation is in an unmanifest state, then it manifests, stays for some time, and then it again, it's unmanifest. So the living entities, because of their rebellious nature, are put into such a condition. And klishya mananam means suffering in the material world. So the living entities in the material world are overwhelmed by the threefold miseries. So if we say we are overwhelmed, that means, say for example, we are overwhelmed by water, that means we are drowning underwater. So when the living entity is in the material world, it is overwhelmed by the threefold miseries. So the miseries afflicted by the body and the mind, the other living entities, and natural disturbances. So the entire material program is to somehow counteract these miseries. And then the second line is mentioned, avidya kama karmavi. So all this is taking place because of avidya kama karmavi. In other words, because of ignorance. So ignorance is the root cause of our being in the material world. Even in the Nectar of Devotion, the first chapter, one of the characteristics of bhakti is that kleshagni. It destroys all material suffering. So over there it's mentioned the cause of our suffering. The entire chain of suffering is explained. So the root cause of our suffering is actually ignorance. Ignorance of the true knowledge. So ignorance of the knowledge that we are actually part and parcel servant of Krishna. So by nature we are actually a spontaneous servant of the Lord, because as is mentioned in the purport, every living entity is a servant. So in its in the original position, every living entity is rendering spontaneous devotional service. So that devotional service is comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the Lord, offering prayers. So all this is going on spontaneously. But when we are in the realm of matter, all living entities have actually forgotten Krishna. So you can see, if you go outside this temple, ask anyone, do you know who Krishna is? Maybe now, because of Prabhupada's mercy, they know, at least they've heard of the Hare Krishna. But still you'll come across many people, they'll say, no, I don't know who Krishna is. So the living entity in the material world is in a state of forgetfulness. So that forgetfulness is actually caused by ignorance. Ignorance of our true identity. So once we are covered by ignorance, and when we identify the matter to be the self, or we take the material body and mind to be the self, then all desires are basically based on satisfying the body and the mind. So then, in the Nectar of Devotion, the entire cycle is explained. From ignorance gives rise to desires, sinful desires, unlawful desires. And when we engage in fulfilling those desires, we get a reaction. So there's a manifest reaction, then there's an unmanifest reaction. So the manifest reaction is we get this material body, or we are born in certain circumstances and we have certain facilities, or we suffer in a certain way, or we so-called enjoy in a certain way. And the unmanifest reaction is that we develop tendencies or proclivities to act in certain ways. So then that again feeds into the desires. Those proclivities lead to further desires. And in that way, the vicious cycle of material existence goes on. So the root cause is actually ignorance. So when one is conditioned by matter, the living entity is actually thinking that the material world is meant for our enjoyment. And in fact, religion should aid that enjoyment. Here it says in the very first sentence that the Lord asserts that He appears in every millennium just to re-establish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. So these days, to say that, you know, religion is created by God, people think that that is a very primitive idea. If you tell someone that religion means the laws of God, so everyone thinks that religion means, it's basically, religion is man-made. And religion is made so that it gives people a sense of purpose, or it gives people a sense of hope. Or maybe people can have a hope that after they die, because everyone is going to die, so after they die, they'll have a better life. So it gives them a sense of hope. They don't, they're not very, so they're not afraid of death, and they get, maybe they get a better life. They have a better life in the next body. Or religion, the purpose of religion is to teach people moral guidelines, how to live in the world, in a peaceful manner. So, or the evolutionists say that first, we have all evolved. We were chimpanzees at one stage. So we gradually evolved and our brain size increased, and therefore we developed tools. We could conceptualize things, and then we made up all these tools. And then after some time, language came into existence. We were able to communicate our ideas. And then gradually, mankind came up with religion. Or people see religion as a means of controlling others. So these days people are very, very afraid of religion. They might say, okay, you Hare Krishna look very happy, all this is nice. But after a while, when they attend the programs, they find out that this is actually a religion where their lives will be restricted. So any bona fide religion will try to restrict the lives of their followers. Not to control them, but actually to cure them. So as is mentioned here, our true position is to render spontaneous service unto the Lord. But because we are in this diseased condition, that we are covered by this avidya, our disease is this avidya, ignorance. So the process of Krishna consciousness or a bona fide religion is actually to cure this disease. And that's what sadhana bhakti is for. Sadhana bhakti engages us directly in the process of devotional service and also cleanses us of this contamination of ignorance. But people are very, very afraid of this religion. Because in the world also, the history of religion is not very good. It has been used as a tool to control people. That is true. So people are naturally averse to be controlled, because that's the very mentality of a conditioned soul. The mentality of a conditioned soul is that the conditioned soul wants to be independent. That's the very reason why we are in the material world, because we want to be independent of Krishna and we want to take Krishna's position. So naturally the living entity is averse to being controlled. So therefore people say this is that, you know, one person told me, I actually like Taoism because in that there is no worship of any god and one doesn't have to adhere to any rules and regulations. Or people think religion is man-made. Anyone can create their religion. I don't need someone to tell me what religion is. I can create my own religion. Religion is whatever you think it is. Whatever I think or you think, whatever you think, that's religion. Ultimately, it's all one. And we all are the same. We all are existing in oneness. But because we are under illusion, therefore we are thinking in terms of I and mine. But actually we all are one. And religion is just simply a man-made process. So if you type up the word religion in Google, you'll come across so many religions of the world, like Scientology, that's a man-made religion. Atheism is also actually considered to be a religion. So atheism is also religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it. So the misunderstanding is that religion is man-made, meant to control others. And that's why people are very afraid to submit to any religious institution, because they feel they'll be very, very restricted and bound. And we might see that this tendency might also be existing in us, even within the realm of Krishna consciousness, that we don't want to be bound by the instructions of the spiritual master. Because even in Krishna consciousness, we are meant to take guidance at every step of our life. And that's why we accept a bona fide spiritual master. To connect to the parampara. And also that we take guidance. So our guru is not like a footy star which we hang on the wall. Like we have the pictures of the acharyas here. Or we keep the picture of the guru on the desk or on a nice altar. So the guru is not like a rock star or a footy star. So we don't accept guru as a fashion. So the purpose of accepting a spiritual master is actually to be guided by the instructions of the spiritual master. So one has to submit oneself. One has to basically give one's free will to the spiritual master. So when we are living in the Brahmachari or Brahmacharini ashram, it's much easier, because pretty much we are told what to do. That's ashram life. But when we are living outside the temple, it can be a bit challenging. The principle still remains that we have to take shelter of the Vaishnavas and our spiritual master. So here Prabhupada says, no one can manufacture a new path of religion as is the fashion for certain ambitious persons. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority and thus render service unto Him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he is constitutionally made for that purpose. So it's unfortunately the illusion living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. So people say, I don't want to submit to a religious system because I'll be controlled. But they cannot see that they're controlled anyway. Everyone is controlled by the government. Everyone is controlled by their own senses. Everyone is pushed by the urges of the body, the urges of the tongue, the urges of the mind, the urges of the genitals and the belly. Everyone is pushed to act in certain ways. So ultimately we are directly under the grip of material nature. So material nature is controlling all living entities. So we have to choose, who do we want to be controlled by? Do we want to be controlled by Krishna? Or we want to be controlled by the material energy? So under illusion, the living entity is thinking that they are actually free or independent in the material world. Like one time I was on book distribution and I was talking to this person, and then suddenly from nowhere this man came and he just interrupted and he just said, you know what these guys are about, that if you buy this book that you can be fully controlled by them. He said, because they actually restrict everything, even if they get married, because this person knew about the Hare Krishnas. He had spent quite a bit of time in Mulumba, New Govardhan Farm. So he knew, and he said, if you buy this book and if you read it, he said, I'll tell you the secret. It's what it is. Every stage of the life they control by a man, by a so-called guru, who will tell you when to sleep, when to wake up, what to eat, what not to eat. who to get married to, when to get married, and even before you conceive a child, you have to take permission. She said, your life will be fully restricted. You lose your freedom. And people think religion means you submit to one man. Religion is actually a means of controlling someone. So in the name of God or scripture, scriptures are created so someone can control. So people say, okay, who is your temple run by? God or a temple president? Or, you know, you are actually following the instructions of a guru. It's a man. So this is man worship. So it's a means of controlling. But because people do not have the proper knowledge, they are unable to understand that religion means the laws of God. And it's meant to actually re-establish a relationship with Krishna. And the way Krishna does it, Krishna's process is tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnina sevaya padikshanditi jnanam jnanina sattva darshana. So that's Krishna's process. You approach my devotee, take shelter of my devotee. He can guide you because he has seen the truth. So that's Krishna's process. But mundane people, they misunderstand that. So here Prabhupada says, unfortunately, the illusion living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. And out of such desire, the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment centered about a perverted sex life. So material says that material enjoyment is centered about a perverted sex life. So that was Pumsa Sriya Mithuni Bhava Metam Tayor Mitho Hidaya Kanti Ahu Atho Shetra. Aham, yeah. Nase Moha Aham Mameti. So what's the translation? Pumsa Sriya Mithuni. Attraction and between a male and a female is the basic principle of material existence. So, and based on this, the illusions of life simply increase. So, and we can see that first we take birth, we are a boy or a girl, and at that time we are not hit by the sex desire, we are not hit by puberty. But still we are actually absorbed within the realm of matter. But after the ages of 12 and 13, we are hit by puberty. And then the opposite sex suddenly becomes very attractive. And because of that, one's absorption in matter increases a millionfold or whatever. So even before that, we are simply absorbed in material conditions. We are thinking about ourselves, our situation, and how to play this and that. But when the living entity is attracted by the opposite sex, then they are fully absorbed in matter. So when a man and a woman unite, then naturally they need a place, they need a griha, then they need a kshetra, a field of activities, some work. You know, they need land to. Before it used to be agriculture, economy was agro-based, but now okay, you need a job, so you have to work. Then naturally kids will come, and then you have your expanded circle of friends and relatives. So in this way, one is simply absorbed in the material realm, and it is very, very difficult to come out of it. So therefore it's called Griha Andhakupam, the dark well of household life. But of course that's Griha Medhi life. Grihastha life is different. But the point is, as it's mentioned here, material enjoyment is centered about a perverted sex life. So we see material life is based on sex life, whether licit or illicit sex life. So the entire world is running around that. Economic development is based on that. Once Prabhupada on a morning walk with his disciples, I think it was at Boston Pier in America. And then he's walking, and then with his morning walk, and then he pointed to this huge ship. It was, I think, like a, maybe it was a yacht, or maybe it was a cruise liner. And he said, what does this mean? And his different disciples were saying different things. Okay, this means material attachment, this person is very attached, or different things. Prabhupada said, no, that means sex life. He wants to enjoy his sex life in a certain way, therefore he has bought this yacht. So all, and even Prabhupada said, these big skyscraper buildings are based simply on sex life. So this attraction between male and woman is actually running everything around. Everything is running around that. So, and because people are so absorbed in that, that they have no time for spiritual life. If you're selling books, you can experience that. You stop someone, excuse me sir, excuse me ma'am, would you like to have a look at this book? They'll say, no, I have no time. I'm very busy right now. So in this way, people have no time for spiritual life because they're simply absorbed in material conditions. And the result of sex life is that it's simply miserable, whether it is illicit or explicit. It, as Prabhupada says, it simply leads to trouble because, and, but our original position, because even in the spiritual realm there is sex life, there is the Adi Rasa over there. So their sex life is in relationship to Krishna. And then Prabhupada further on says that unless therefore one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering beings than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service. So here Prabhupada is actually highlighting Krishna's feature of mercy. Krishna is very, very merciful. So Krishna knows that the living entities are struggling in material existence. And still, because of this rebellious attitude, I've been reading this pastime of Varahadev, the boar incarnation, and there it's mentioned that when Hiranyaksha, he saw the Supreme Lord in the form of a boar, he started blaspheming the Lord. He started to hurl abuses at the Lord, and he was hurling very unkind words to the Lord just to incite his anger so he can have a good fight. Mm-hmm. And it's mentioned there in one of the texts that the Supreme Lord was actually hurt by such words of Hiranyaksha, because the Supreme Lord has feelings. So the Supreme Lord was actually, he was pained in his heart when he heard such kind of words. So the reason why we are here, because the living entity in the material world is also blaspheming the Lord to some extent. So the very fact we are here, which means that we are saying to Krishna that we don't need you, we can be happy independently. So that is actually painful to the Supreme Lord. And we see even today there are so many movements, like atheism is very, very, the propaganda of atheism is very strong. So they are using their pen, with their pen they are writing. And they are basically putting forth blasphemy. So they are trying to decry the Supreme Lord. The impersonalists are trying to decry the Supreme Lord by saying that the Supreme Lord has no head, no hands, no legs. Therefore, he is nothing. So because the living entities are conditioned by the three modes of nature, especially by the modes of passion and ignorance, and therefore they are putting forward a monistic theory, or an impersonalistic theory, or an atheistic theory. So asuram bhavam ashritaha. So they are the living entities who are directly blaspheming the Lord, and that is actually painful to the Lord. The Lord doesn't like that. But still, because the Lord is so merciful, He still comes to save us. It's like if somebody blasphemes us, if someone says very negative things about us, openly, in front of others, and we'll be actually very hurt by that. And then maybe we'll want nothing to do with that person, or we'll think very negatively about that person, in a very negative way. Or at least internally we'll be thinking very negatively, you know, this person is treating me very badly. And we might even think in a bad way about them. But Krishna is not like that. Even if the living entities are blaspheming Him, the very fact we are here is we are blaspheming Him. And on top of that, the living entities are putting forward atheistic propaganda. So, despite of all that, Krishna is very merciful to all living entities. So Krishna situates Himself as the Paramatma feature in the hearts of all living entities, whether it's a worm or a cockroach or Richard Dawkins or whoever. So in his all merciful feature, He comes as the Paramatma. And then Krishna, He leaves the scriptures behind. And Krishna Himself comes once in a day of Brahma. And in every, there's so many avatars coming. There's the Yuga avatars, there's the Manvantara avatars. So there's so many avatars coming, you know, as uncountable waves. So that actually shows Krishna's merciful feature. Krishna comes as the holy name. Krishna comes in the form of prasadam, which no one has any problem accepting. So Krishna comes in the form of devotional service. So in this way, Krishna is actually, out of His causeless mercy, He's more merciful to the suffering living beings than they can expect. And then it's mentioned that He renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating and surrendering unto Him. So there's actually a very nice verse in the second canto, in the fourth chapter, text 15. It says, Yad kirtanam, yad smaranam, yad ikshanam, yad vandanam, yad shravanam, yad arhanam, lokasya sadyo vidunoti kalmasham, tasmai subhadra shravase namo namaha. So it says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all auspicious Lord Shri Krishna, about whom glorification, remembrances, audience, prayers, hearing and worship can at once cleanse the effects of all sins of the performer. So that's how Krishna's mercy is manifest. So Krishna's mercy is manifest in the form of devotional service of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam and so on and so forth. So it says, Yad Kirtanam. So when we glorify the Lord, Yad Smaranam, remembering the Lord, Yad Ikshanam, seeing the Lord, Yad Vandanam, offering prayers, Yad Shravanam, hearing about Him, Yad Arhanam, to worship the Lord. So this is basically the process of devotional service. So it's very easy, anyone can do it. So of course the whole idea is that at the time of death we are able to remember the Lord. Ante Narayana Smriti. So therefore the process begins with hearing, as is mentioned here. So when we hear sufficiently about the Lord, we glorify sufficiently, then in due course of time we will be able to remember what we were hearing and speaking about. And when one can remember the Supreme Lord at the time of death, then one will be able to give up this material bondage. And as Prabhupada mentions here, this particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord's mercy is specially manifest by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because religion means basically the process of devotional service, the 9 items of devotional service. So by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we can directly take to the Bhakti Yoga process. But whereas before one had to go through Karma Khanda, you know, then Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, then eventually you come to the point of Bhakti. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we directly begin the process of devotional service. So the means and the end is actually the same. Whereas with Krishna, he says, okay, first you have to come to the Brahma Bhuta platform. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma na sochati na kankshati. So one has to be free from all material hankerings, fully equipoised. So we are not actually at that stage. If you look at the condition of the residents of Kali Yuga, everyone is situated in the modes of passion and ignorance. Everyone's mind is fully agitated. But by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are actually given the highest. And the highest is actually to develop feelings of separation from the Supreme Lord. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving us. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the highest in the lowest of times in Kali Yuga, where no one has any qualifications. We don't even have the prerequisites to come into spiritual life. So the very fact we are sitting here is by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in Kali Yuga, one cannot approach Krishna. One can only approach Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is that very nice prayer by Lord Chandas Thakur. Parama Karuna Pahu Duijana Nitai Gura Chandra Sabha Avatar Shar Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanda. There's the two Lords, Nitai Gura Chandra, are very merciful. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that they introduce a process of chanting and dancing that is simply joyful. So in other words, first they say, okay, here you taste the sample, get a sample. Taste the process of devotional service, and then later you pay the price. It's like if you want to buy a software, if you go online, first they'll give you a sample, a trial version. Okay, you try the software for 7 days or 30 days trial version. And after that you pay $100 or whatever it costs. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he makes the process of Bhakti Yoga extremely accessible to the masses of people, through the Harinam Sankirtan movement. So, but before, it would take a living entity many, many lifetimes to come to the... It would take many, many lifetimes to come to the level of sadhana bhakti. But by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we directly come to that platform. So when people hear the Harinam, they're on a Friday evening, they're walking, and they hear the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And even we see Narad Muni, therefore he chastised Vyasadeva. He said that by compiling the Vedic literatures, you are actually, the masses of people will get distracted. Therefore he said, now you should compile the Srimad Bhagavatam. Give them the essence of the Vedic scriptures, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam, not even the Vedanta Sutra. Because Srimad Bhagavatam contains the glories of the Lord and His devotees. And then in this prayer, Rojan Das Thakur says that Bhaja Bhaja Bhai Chaitanya Nitaya Sudrida Vishvasa Kori Vishvasya Chariya Se Rasa Majiya Ukhe Bolo Hari Hari. So now the price comes. My dear brother, I request that you worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up this engagement in sense gratification. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hari Hari, without any motive. So then first Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the sample, and then later he demands the price. So maybe we can all relate to this. When we were very new in Krishna consciousness, that if we can remember that ecstatic feelings we had in the beginning, the process was so wonderful. We were in so much bliss. So we taste that bliss, and then after some time, then we have to pay the price. Then we have to do the hard yards. And the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is such that even the birds and beasts, they cry, and even the stones melt. So in the forest of Jharkhand, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting the Maha Mantra, he was singing, then even the beasts and the birds, they all were united and they were crying. So we can see that's the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that all living entities are benefited. And that's one of the characteristics of bhakti. It is all auspicious, that even all living entities are benefited by the process of Krishna consciousness. So I'll just stop here. Any questions or comments? It's not easy. So the best way is, question is, how do we preach to people who are very independent? In other words, they just want to, they run their life based on their emotions. How I feel right now, that's the most important thing. Well, just make friends with them. Once you establish a strong friendship with them, then over time they'll listen to you. Yeah, because they need to see that. If they see the sincerity and we are very genuine and we are actually trying to help them, we are just their friend, we are not trying to get anything out of them, then eventually all this, you know, doesn't really bother them that they'll join an institution or they're part of an institution where they'll be controlled. And so just be their friends. Yes, Prabhu.
I have got one comment and one question.
Any child is appearing today? No.
Comment where you said in Jharkhand, if the tigers and elephants are all dancing.
Yeah.
The question is, what is the difference between impersonalists and Mayavadis?
What is the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis?
Impersonalists and Mayavadis.
Okay. So Mayavadis say that the Lord's form is composed of matter. And therefore, even when the Lord descends, his form is actually basically it's composed of matter. Therefore, they're called Mayavadis. And impersonalists are, they basically accept that the Brahman feature of the Lord. Is that right? Open the show. They accept the Brahman feature of the Lord. That's an impersonalist. So they don't decry Krishna's form, but they say that the Brahman feature is, that's what they're after. That's an impersonalist. But they won't decry Krishna's form. So for them also there is some hope. But Mayavadis, they actually decry Krishna's form. They say his form is made up of matter and he actually doesn't have a form. That's my understanding. Anything else? Kramsraj Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Prabhupada ki.